Well, good afternoon, everybody, and very good to know you're there. And if you were here last Sunday, you'll know that that's no mean feat. We rewarded the patient, I hope, after we were 45 minutes late trying to make the technology work. And looks like certainly on my screen it's working. So thank you very, very much for joining us. We're very well aware that over Easter, people perhaps who might not regularly come to church, but over Easter, Christmas, that sort of thing, people perhaps want to reconnect with Christian things. And if you're streaming for the first time and joining us in that way, it's good to have you. My name is Adam. I'm the vicar of Christ Church here in Crouch End in London. Thank you very much for making the time out of your busy day. A strangely differently, strangely busy day to join us in this way. It's good to have you with us. It is a strange time, isn't it? It really is a very odd thing that the world is going through at the moment. And this is Good Friday, we say. And perhaps it feels anything but good. Perhaps you're far from feeling good about any of it. Perhaps it feels trickier than ever before, even if you are a Christian believer, to think, is this good? And yet, we want to just to take some time now to take some time out to think about that first Good Friday, and perhaps more than ever before, to see just how good a Good Friday really is. Normally, in normal times, we'd have gathered last night as a church family for Maundy Thursday. We would have remembered the Last Supper together. But we can't do that. We couldn't do that. And so today, what we're going to do is a little different than planned. At 12 o'clock now, we're going to think a little bit about that Last Supper meal. And then at 8 o'clock this evening, we'll think about the cross, where the supper led to. And if you can join us for both, great. If you can't, please don't worry. Both of the services, the broadcasts, will be available on the website, so you'll be able to catch up at any point. The format will remain as simple as ever. It's all I can manage. I'm going to read through the passage, and I'm going to do that today deliberately, slowly. They're often very familiar words we're about to hear, so I'm going to really be slow, allow some time for them to sink in. And then I'm going to offer just something of a reflection, not so much a sermon, but a reflection of a few thoughts on those verses. Then we'll respond in our own way at home. And I've got some suggestions which we'll come to. But if you have a Bible, do take up your Bible. We're turning to Mark chapter 14, which is in the New Testament. It's in the second part of your Bibles. If you're not familiar diving around your Bible, just use the contents page. It's what it's for. And we're turning up to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark was a good friend of the disciple Peter, who we're going to meet in a moment. And he has recorded this account. Mark chapter 14. I'm just going to pray for us as we listen to God's word. And then I'm going to read it from verse 17 of Mark chapter 14. Let me pray first. Loving Father, we thank and praise you for the opportunity to make the time to gather in this strange way, but to sit under your voice. And we pray that you would help us just to take a few moments to reflect, to consider, and to have Jesus revealed to us from that first Easter. And we pray in his name. Amen. So Mark chapter 14, and I'm going to read from verse 17. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him." But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he'd not been born. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. It's very likely that we know this account and certainly these events quite well, don't we? We know that history records that Jesus died. Many of us here will know why Jesus died. But what Mark doesn't want us to miss, what Mark focuses his camera lens on, if you will, is just who Jesus dies for. As we picture this scene in our mind's eye, perhaps you were doing that as we read, we can picture, can't we, Jesus sat there with his friends, like a famous painting in a gallery. Jesus there in the middle, friends either side. A final moment of fellowship before Calvary. Some tears, some laughter, some catching up on old times. And yet, as the saying we share goes, with friends like these, who needs enemies? You see, Mark wants us to see that is the point here. Jesus dies for friends like these, who are far more like enemies. We picked up that the narrative of Mark's retelling at the third part of the long Jewish Passover supper. It's that meal where the symbolism of the different Passover foods and drink, they get explained. And then everybody around the table would drink and eat. And the point was that the whole family were gathering together to remember God's faithful, loving deliverance of their ancestors from Egyptian captivity. And year after year, they would remember that release, that redemption. And as they had this meal this year, at this meal, so now Jesus reframes the meaning of the bread and the wine at this part of the meal. His broken body and shed blood would once again secure God's ultimate deliverance. A deliverance from captivity, but this time the captivity of sin and death. I'm told that the words in the original are very powerful. In Jesus' original Aramaic tongue, verse 22 would have simply said, "Take this, my body." Imagine being there, chewing on the bread as your friend and teacher says those words. Point being that they were to remember the self-giving act that the cross was about to accomplish. And then as Jesus takes the cup of wine, he declares boldly in verse 24, "This is my blood of the covenant." And they're astonishing words, particularly for those friends there and then. Jesus is casting their minds back to the Egyptian rescue itself. He's echoing Moses' words from Exodus chapter 24, where Moses sprinkled the people who'd gathered with the blood of the sacrifices. And now, Jesus says, the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of this lamb, will be poured out, but this time for many. You see, at that very familiar meal, and in only a few words, Jesus reframes the whole thing. And he makes plain that this will be the Passover. His will be the sacrifice that every other sacrifice has anticipated and pointed to. You see, for them then especially, it will have been a staggering claim. It's staggering enough for us today to imagine him speaking that way. But even more staggering is that Mark wants us to really see who he's doing it for. I'm sure many of us will remember those days at school in the playground where the teams get picked. That will either have cast back fond memories or frightening ones for some. Some, of course, will have been picked first because of your brilliant, snazzy skills and lucky you. Others will have been picked last or simply not at all, just allocated to one of the teams to make up the numbers. And yet here, if I can put it like this, the team that's gathered round Jesus, well, it's nothing to do with ability that welcomes them there, nothing to do with skill that has them earn their place. Now, a place at Jesus' table is one of grace, not merit. It's one of invitation, not reward. That's what Mark wants us to see. So, for instance, did you notice, as I read, that the account of the meal, it's topped and tailed, it's bookended with betrayal. Jesus announces one of them will betray him. That's Judas, who we might know tells the authorities where they'll find Jesus to make their arrest and fulfill their murder. Then, after the meal, as they go to the Mount of Olives, Jesus announces, "Oh, it's not just Judas, they will all fall away." It's Peter who, in his usual haste, if we're familiar with Peter from the gospel accounts, he responds boldly and bravely, perhaps brashly, with some self-assurance, not humility. Verse 29, "Even if all fall away, I will not." In other words, he's saying, whilst these other wimps might abandon you, Jesus, I would never do that. And then we get Jesus calmly replying, "Peter, you'll have abandoned me before breakfast." "No way," says Peter, "I would die for you." And we're told he speaks for them all. All the others, we're told, say the same. You see, the point here Mark wants us to see is that just as they all shared the bread and the wine, just as they all proclaim loyalty and devotion, so Jesus says, they will all fall away. They'll all abandon him. See, Jesus dies not for faithful friends, but for traitors and the terrified. I find it's very easy to go through the motions as a Christian, to crank the handle, if you like, day by day. And as we do that, we fall into the danger, perhaps, of moving from a heart of humble repentance that we might have first known when we were born again, to slowly over time starting to think that we deserve a place at the Lord's table. To look at this account even and think, I would never do that. To think perhaps like lining up to be picked for sports teams, that we'll look around and even if we're not the best, well, compared to others, I'd be picked because I was worth dying for, because I'm worthy of a place with the Lord at his table. And perhaps that's just the irony Mark doesn't want us to miss, because yes, you and I are worthy of a place at the table because we would all have betrayed Jesus too. We're to see that the table, the meal before the cross, is one of grace, not merit. It's where we remember the Lord Jesus willingly dies for those who will willingly abandon him. Well, of course, this Good Friday, lots of us feel abandoned in all sorts of ways, or at least starting to. The novelty is wearing off, isn't it? And later this evening at 8 p.m., we'll remember that Jesus really knew what it was to be abandoned as we think about the cross. But for now, I suggest we close. And I suggest that we take a moment, if we can. Our households might be eerily quiet or rather too hectic. But if we can, take a moment of quiet and think about this scene of the Lord's table. Reflect on the fact that we're not welcome there because of how good we are. No, quite the opposite. We are welcome because of how good Jesus is. And he's the one who'll die and invite us. Good thing to do might be to spend some time saying sorry to God, confessing. He dies for the terrified and for traitors. Take the time if you can, perhaps using some words that you'll see under the video from Psalm 51, just to say sorry once again to the Lord. Perhaps say them more slowly than we might when we gather on a Sunday to say them together. Take some time to do business with the Lord, who's done everything sufficient and necessary to invite you to a place at his table. And then if you can, I suggested a song or two that you might like to listen to. Some you might want just to simply listen, others to sing along. Others are slightly extended. They might well form some background music. And then, Lord willing, we can gather here again at 8 o'clock this evening to think specifically about the cross where Christ was headed after this episode. And if you aren't able to join us at 8, please don't worry. The video will remain up and online. Let me pray for us now. And then we can go into our own personal prayers and response. Loving Father, we thank you so much that the Last Supper points towards the Lord's Supper, this supper. And we thank you so much that the Son of Man went just as it was written about him, all that was fulfilled after all the prophecies. And we thank you so much for this reminder that Mark gives us of just who Jesus dies for. And we're sorry for when we think we are more worthy than another to have been died for. And we thank you that as we come to him humbly, as we come to him saying sorry and seeing how much we need him, he simply welcomes us to a seat at the table. And we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. And pray that this Easter, perhaps more than any other Easter, we would see just how good that first Good Friday really is. Amen.